What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to a special lockdown Dome Patrol United podcast. Join me for this special episode is one of the UK brethren, Mr. James Baker. Hope you and your family are safe and well.
Thank you, Ben. It's been a while since we've done this.
It's been a while. Considering I've been locked down and not doing anything, we've finally decided to get off our backside to do a podcast.
Well, it's the draft this week, isn't it? And kind of gives us a little bit to talk about.
Well, this isn't going to be a draft episode, so this really isn't going to be a normal episode where we sit down and talk nonsense to one another. But this is something that is going to be a very first for the Dome Patrol United and us when we were the UK Saints podcast. We're going to be talking tonight on this episode to Saints legend, and I mean legend, 4 times Pro Bowler, Super Bowl 44 champ, and the best punter in the NFL, Thomas Morstead. So super excited now to be joining us, and right now is Thomas Morstead. Thomas, welcome to the show. How are you? And hope your family are safe and well during these strange times.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Everybody's doing great. My extended family's up in Lincolnshire hanging out. Not too many people are up in those parts, so it's probably a good place for them to quarantine.
Easy to social distance there.
That's exactly right.
So Thomas, for those who don't know, actually, you've got quite a close connection to the UK, haven't you?
Yeah, my mom is from northeast Lincolnshire, and my dad grew up there. My dad actually grew up in Grimsby, and his dad was an expat, so they traveled around a bunch growing up, and that's how he met my mom. And yeah, I've been over there. I just went through all my old passports to see how many trips I've actually made over to England, and I've done 25 trips.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. So we grew up coming over a lot, visiting. I really don't know England that well, other than where my mom is from. That's, you know, we've always gone straight to the farm. Every now and then we'll stay a day in London or something like that, but we've typically just gone straight to the farm and gotten stuck in with all the relatives and, you know, just kind of, you know, it's a different world up there.
Yeah, so I bet on your bucket list was to play a game in London, and you did that with the Saints a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. You know, my grandmother had just passed away that summer before that, so we came over for the funeral, and getting a chance to, you know, when we left, being able to say to my grandfather, hey, we'll see you in a few months, was normally when we go over there, it's kind of like, you know, see you next time whenever that is. And it was nice to be able to say, hey, we'll see you in a few months for that game. And it was pretty cool. We had about 40 family members all come down to London. And my mom accidentally booked a big booking at the Hard Rock, which happens to be the title sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. And they had a huge Dolphins party. And there was a 40-person Saints party right in the middle of this huge event. So that was interesting. But it was a great time. We obviously won that game 20-0. I had a really good game, and so it was positive all the way around.
Yeah, we've got Ben and myself were both at the game. And I've got a bit of a story for you. So prior to the game on the Saturday, just before you came on stage on Regent Street, me and a couple of friends of mine were in a bar just off Regent Street, and some people saw that I was a Saints fan and started talking to me, and it was your family.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So I was having about a 10-minute conversation with them, just in general about the Saints, why I support the Saints, and my link to Louisiana and stuff like that. So yeah, that was quite an experience. And then
didn't they see you again Christmas Eve? Falcons game at the Dome.
So I came over for the Christmas Eve game against the Falcons, and I was walking around outside the stadium. I got a flag with a fleur-de-lis on it, and I believe your mum spotted my flag and passed and called me over and having a chat with your mum before the game.
Yeah, my mom doesn't know a stranger, so I'm sure she saw that and was it was a magnet.
Yeah, as soon as she saw the flag, she called me over.
I love it. Yeah, they go to almost every game. Actually, now that she just took that job in London, so she missed a few games at the end of last season. But I think in total, in my 11-year career, I think she's missed 5 games. Her and my dad.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is the Saints need to get another game in London soon, then.
Well, I think one coming in the next 2 seasons because we were. We won the bid for the Super Bowl, and so we had to give up a home game to go play in London.
Yeah.
And okay. So that will happen, and I'm sure the fact that they've gotten a 17th game now as a possibility, there'll be a lot more teams that they're not giving up a home game. Potentially, it may be a neutral site type of deal. Yeah. And so I think that'll be good for the UK as well. Obviously, the fanfare over there has been outstanding, so hopefully we'll continue to move more and more games over there.
Yeah, I mean it's a weird one because obviously we love having the games over here. There does seem to be some negativity towards it over in America, but you know the overriding feeling is that the most people think it's a positive that games are played over here in London.
Well, logistically, it's a big. It can cause issues for sure, and then you get into foreign taxes and you get into security. You get into different laws in different countries. So there's a lot of inefficiency probably that's caused by doing it that way. Mm. And from the fans' perspective, I think one of the really tough things is, you know, imagine growing up in some town that doesn't have a soccer team in England, and all of a sudden you've been rooting for you know, let's say you've been rooting for Arsenal your whole life, and all of a sudden a team moves into your town. Okay, there you go. So a team moves into your town. If you now have a new team, do you now stop rooting for Arsenal?
No.
Because what I think has happened is there's 32 teams, and everybody has fans everywhere. And if all of a sudden you actually end up moving a team over to London, does everybody now give up their allegiance to their team that they've been rooting for?
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from there. But obviously, you came over a couple of years ago during the postseason, and you did a bit of work on Sky TV with Neil Reynolds and Jeff Reinbold. But you went on the NFL UK live tour around the country speaking to the fans. What sort of did the UK market surprise you? How knowledgeable they were of the sport and everything?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. Honestly, whenever they asked me to do it, I said, are you sure you guys want a punter to be the guy that you're bringing around? And they said, well, you know, I knew Jeff already, Reinbolt from SMU in college and with June Jones. And then they said, look, these fans, they're kind of newer fans. They all want information. They're not looking for the razzmatazz, the fireworks show here. They want to know about the game. They've got questions about the rules. They want to understand why the strategy is what it is. And they said, we think you could do a good job with that. I said, well, I could definitely do all that. And so I had a great experience. People really were in tune and wanted to know why we do what we do in different situations, and being able to be there on Sky Sports and do the in-game analysis. It was kind of a cool experience for me because it ended up – the game I covered was the Cowboys-Packers game, and there were like 3 different special teams plays that ended right at the end of the game that kind of dictated the results of the game. And so that was really, really cool for me to be able to put my expertise into that side of it. So I wasn't surprised at all. It was awesome to be a part of it, and hopefully those guys will invite me back again to do it again.
Yeah, no, we'd love to have you back on the TV over here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Would it be something you'd be interested in doing as a post-playing career, going into the TV side of things? Or
Maybe. You know, I'm not a salesman, so and I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. I just a lot of these guys, you know, we call it going to the dark side when players go to the media. You know, sometimes you get put in situations where you have to kind of dramatize things or make it more than it is. And that's just not my mentality. That's not my nature. That's not who I am. You can call that being boring or stiff or whatever you want to call that. But I love the sport. I love the strategy of the sport. And if somebody were to find value in me doing that, maybe I would do it one day. But me getting out on TV or in a radio and trying to hype everything up to the nth degree when I don't really feel that way, that'd be hard for me to do, I think.
So there's no deal with Fox like Drew's deal with NBC then for when his playing career is over.
No, you know what? I haven't been approached yet. Maybe I need to hire a marketing guy. I don't have one, so I do all my own stuff. But yeah, there's nothing in the plans. I'm just trying to max this thing out as good as I can while I'm playing. I don't want to do anything else. I mean, I just tell people all the time, I hit the jackpot. I've got the best job in the world. And I love doing all the training. I love the grind. I love the work. You know, I just love it all. And so I'm going to do it as long as I possibly can.
So on the training and things like that, how are you getting on with the, it's going to be a weird off season program this year, isn't it? Obviously there was a meeting today, wasn't there? There was some tweets that came out earlier on.
Yeah, we won't have one. So, Coach just said he wants everybody to focus on their families, deal with all this stuff, do the right thing, you know. And you know, we've got a really cohesive group of guys right now coming back. And so I think as far as, you know, if no teams end up doing much, it's in our advantage. We already have such a good group. I don't expect there to be a ton of turnover on the team this year. And I'm sure they feel the same way, right? Yeah. I think he just said, hey, look, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing. I just need everybody to commit to me. They're going to show up in the best shape of their life, ready to go in July. And shoot, when Coach says that, that's, you know, it's easy to respond to that in the right way.
Yeah. So on the turnover thing, then obviously it's the draft tomorrow night. Do you take a keen eye on the draft, or do you only really care if the Saints are looking to draft another punter?
So both. I definitely keep an eye on it. It's exciting, you know. I also tell people I'm a fan on the field. I get asked to punt every so often, but I'm as big a football fan as there is. So just you know, I'm very fascinated with the whole thing. I love watching it. There's drama to it. You just never know. It's you know, everybody's holding their own hand. And everybody's got a different hand, but you never know how people are going to play it. And it's just exciting to be, you know, every team has to watch every pick because you just don't know if they're going to trade it up, trade down. Are they going to trade back into the first round? You know, and so it's really exciting to watch the whole thing.
That's cool. Obviously, you're joined this year by a former SMU player, Manuel Sanders. What can you really tell us about him and what trick he'll add to the Saints' offense this year?
It's super exciting. You know, Emmanuel and I, we didn't really run in the same circles back in school. You know, I got a ton of respect for him. The thing I remember about Emmanuel back in college is he ran every route in practice like it was the Super Bowl. He sold out for every ball, just a different mentality than I'd ever seen at that position. And so that's a redeeming quality for anybody to practice every rep like it matters. And that's why he's had such a successful career. And I saw a thing the other day saying that he was, if he can get to the Super Bowl this with us, it'll be the first player in NFL history to go to four Super Bowls on four different teams. So I'm rooting for him to get that record.
Him and Michael Thomas is a pretty dynamic wide receiver combination, isn't it? You know, the NFC South defenses are going to be in a bit of trouble, I think, this year.
Yeah, look, he's I think the things that Emmanuel does well are synergy for Drew and how accurate he is in the intermediate passing game. And so Emmanuel is just an exceptional route runner, and he's just a smart football player. And so that's super exciting to have him.
Yeah. So speaking of the NFC South, there's a team in Florida that have made a few moves this offseason. What are your thoughts on what Tampa have put together so far this offseason?
Well, I don't want to pretend to be an expert at anything other than punting and kicking, so I won't make too much of a speculation on that. I know it's super exciting to have some more star power coming to the division. I don't think I've ever played Tampa Bay in primetime, and I've got to imagine that'll change this year. having more big personalities and more attention to the division, that's exciting. And we don't exactly have the big market teams in our division, so it's very, very exciting. And I don't put too much stock in what anybody thinks before the season because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And every year teams come out of nowhere that surprise everybody. And every year there's some teams that don't show up at all that you're like, thought they were going to be playoff teams. So, at the end of the day, it's good to have the spotlight coming into our division. And hopefully that means we'll get to play in a lot of primetime slots, and also hopefully it means it makes games meaningful. I mean, all the games are meaningful because they all count the same, but when you look up at your schedule and you've got 15 games at noon on and then one Thursday night game, that's tough. And so hopefully we'll have a bunch of nighttime games and primetime games.
Yeah, I mean, the nighttime and primetime games aren't exactly ideal for us, but we've got a good little community of fans that do stay up religiously to watch the games that are late. I mean, I'm 4 or 5, the Houston game, the opening game last season, me and Ben were on a video chat at 5 o'clock in the morning, jumping around the living room after Will Lutz nailed that kick.
Yeah. The whole street up.
Yeah, that was one of the cooler moments of my career, being a part of that. Just 3 years earlier, he had played in his first career game a week after being signed by the team in a kind of a bizarre situation. And he had missed a long field goal in the first half against the Raiders. And we came back to kick a 61-yarder as time expired, and he missed just barely to the left. And I told him at halftime of the Houston game, he had missed a long kick against Houston. Same special team coach on the other side from 3 years earlier. And I just told him, if you guys ever get a chance to interview him, you have to ask him. I told him at halftime, I said, you're going to kick. This is going to be just like the Oakland game 3 years ago. You're going to kick a game winner as time expires. Nice. And it was bizarre because when we went out on the field to kick that kick, we both looked at each other like, are you kidding me? Like, we just called this and it's happening. And it was like in our minds, there was no doubt he was making it because we had already – it was almost like we'd already prophesied it. You know what I mean? And so it was really, really cool. And it was cool seeing the highlights of it later because me and him knew it was in 2 seconds before anybody else. And we were celebrating while everybody was looking. So it was definitely a cool memory.
Yeah. Obviously, your career highlight has to be obviously this winning the Super Bowl in Miami. When you found out about Ambush and it was going to happen, Could you just not stop smiling, thinking you could be playing a major part here, in one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history?
No, let's be clear. I was not smiling at all when Coach called that. I was a rookie, and I had a lot of negative thoughts going on. I just didn't really believe we'd actually call it. But I had plenty of time at halftime to sort through my feelings and get over it. And by the time I went out there, I was excited about it. I was still totally nervous, but I was excited to do it, and I knew we were going for it. And as a player, you always want to feel like you're going for it, being aggressive, and that's what it was. And it's definitely been something I've hung my hat on the rest of my career because the kicking game is so mental, and you don't always feel great about yourself. You don't always feel like you're grooved or locked in, and sometimes you just have to talk yourself into confidence. And when you can remind yourself of other times when you haven't been as confident and you've been able to get it done, It's definitely something you can lean on in times of doubt.
Yeah, a good friend of ours, Elliot, who came from the UK to watch the Super Bowl, he spent all the money getting over there and getting a ticket. He actually missed the onside kicks. He was going to the toilet. he didn't understand when he got back to his seat how the Saints had the ball.
Right. Well, it's funny because my parents were in the crowd, and my mom was crying because she thought I had missed the ball so badly it literally had squiggled off the side of my foot. And my kicking coach was sitting right next to her and just said, "There is no way that was on accident." And then, sure enough, we ended up getting the ball, and she was all happy after that. So, I didn't tell anybody that it was a possibility. So it caught them off guard too.
Yeah, amazing. So I've got a question. Has there ever been a play in the Saints special teams playbook that involves you catching the ball in a punt but throwing a pass? That's never been
run. We've got all sorts of stuff we always work on. So I would say the answer is going to be there's a possibility of anything you could ask me.
No, I appreciate it.
I think the thing that's really unique about our situation right now is having Taysom play our personal protector on punt team. It'd be kind of like having me and Drew on the field at the same time, who you can have the ball in their hands. If you're going to run a fake, well, you're probably going to run through Taysom. So, but never say never.
Yeah.
I always joke with Coach Payton. He's just saving Ambush 2.0 for the next Super Bowl when everybody least expects it. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. So I was looking through your stats before, and apparently in the 2014 season, you actually got sacked. Is this true?
Yeah, we ran a fake where I was supposed to throw. And I guess the easiest way to put it was it was not a good look. That we definitely should not have run it. It was an obvious time to run it, and they were ready for it. We were down 14 points to the Dallas Cowboys with about 7.5 minutes left. And we ran this thing that looked like an option read, but it was not an option. It was just I had to roll out, draw the defense to the left. Roll out to the right. They had five guys playing back, covering our two options at receiver. So I did make a guy miss, so you can go back and pull that up.
I'm going to go look for it.
Yeah, it was Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys, and we got smoked in that game.
Yeah.
So, I didn't want to ruin my passer rating, so I didn't let the ball go.
No, very, very, very sensible, very sensible. So you mentioned Taysom before. Is there anything he can't do?
No. That's all I got for you.
Just straight up, no, he can do anything.
Yeah.
I'm serious. He is outstanding. He's just an incredible, incredible mix of physical ability, intelligence, and he just loves hitting people. He's Jim Thorpe. He just could do everything. And I can't say enough good things about him. Yeah, he actually jokes around about wanting to take punt reps throughout the season in practice, and I never let him do it because I don't want to get Wally pipped and all of a sudden be out of a job.
That's amazing.
With the kicking, I don't think you've ever taken an extra point for the Saints. I don't think.
No, I'm waiting for that. I'd like to score a point one day.
Yeah. So if you were given the opportunity to kick a field goal, what would your range be?
Probably 60, 61, 62.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Range has never been the issue. It's whether it goes straight or not for me. So. Back when we had kicker woes for years after years, people always say, "Why don't we just let Morstead kick?" I said, "Man, you guys would not be as big a fans of me if I was your field goal kicker." So I kicked for 3 years in college as a field goal kicker, and was able to make a lot of long kicks, but I just was not accurate enough to be a professional NFL kicker.
That's fair enough.
But if you told me you needed one kick to win the game, I'd bet everything I got that I'd make it.
Happy days. I like that. Going back to the UK game that you guys came over and played, that was kind of really the start of this run for this team. How important would you say the week being together, like a mini training camp in London, was leading up to that game? Did you get to know the new guys a little bit more, and they got to know you a little bit more? Because there's nowhere you guys could go. You were living each other for a week, weren't you?
Yeah, I think it was really important. We had just come off an 0-2 start, and we go to Carolina and get our first win before we'd fly over there. And just kind of an extra week of training camp, except for you had all the evenings off, so guys could go to dinner, play cards. It was nice. It was good to get together and, get a little time together. It's hard when you got kids. I don't think what people think of the NFL or the professional athlete lifestyle is not what a lot of people think it is. At least not in my world. A lot of guys have kids and wives, and they've got other responsibilities. And so it's hard to get together. But whenever you're go away as a team together like that, you're kind of forced into that. And so it was a good thing for us at that time.
Cool. Well, Thomas, I don't want to keep you any longer because obviously you're very busy homeschooling everything at the moment. I just want to say a massive thank you for coming on and joining us on the Dome Patrol United. And so you've got a massive fan base here in the UK and in Louisiana as well. And I know a lot of our listeners have said about you helping so much in the community and everything, and they're all very grateful for everything you do. So,
I'm grateful to be a part of it. Like I said, this has been a dream for me to be able to do any of this stuff. It's more than a dream. I didn't think any of this was possible, a decade ago. So it's just been a blessing. And, we're hoping to keep this thing rolling and keep the wins coming this year. And hopefully we can get over the top this year.
Fingers crossed. We're all rooting for you,
fingers
Thomas.
Crossed. We are waiting for it. We're going to have a party like you've never seen over here if we get to the Super Bowl, I can assure you.
I'll be there. Give me the invite.
Cheers, Thomas. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Well, James, how cool was that? Thomas Morstead on the Dome Patrol United.
That was pretty damn amazing. And what a cool guy. House full of kids in lockdown, and he takes half an hour out of his day to sit and chat to me and you. I think that was pretty special.
That was pretty special. And hopefully we can do more things like that for the Dome Patrol United. That was the special, the lockdown special. I'm sure there might be a few more potentially. Draft coming up soon. James, quickly, who is your pick? You're on the clock now. Who's your pick?
A player or a position?
A player. We'll go for a player.
A player. Right. Okay. So dream scenario would be if Justin Jefferson falls to 24. I don't think Justin Jefferson will fall to 24. So I predict the Saints will either pick Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray, linebacker.
Exact same as me. Kenneth Murray or Patrick Queen. Anyway, thank you, Crew Dat Nation, for listening. And stay safe, keep well. We'll be out this soon. Who dat?
Who dat?
Just a parade. living fingers, never seen him fall. That death from a flying kid sure plays a mean pinball.